Hey.
Hello.
I've got to start this episode off telling you about a story I just thought of.
Wow, okay.
Just thought of it while I was in the shower earlier.
Okay.
And I was sitting in there thinking, just kind of preparing, because I knew we were going to be recording this, and I was thinking that every guy I know is 20 to 30% gay. This is what I was thinking in the shower.
That's every person, not just every guy.
Well, it may be higher than 20 or 30% gay to my friends, but I don't know why I was thinking this in the shower.
It's a precarious spot.
I was just thinking back, and when we were in school, guys were super gay.
Hitting each other in the nuts and shit.
I mean, that was typical. The game was, you know, you slap each other in the nuts and all that. And that was common in school and everything. But if you were in the locker room and you got changed, if you were caught at one point naked, first thing was if you had a small cock, that would get called out immediately.
That's cowk, C-A-W-C-K.
Yeah. And then after that, immediately, something was getting shoved in your ass. A finger, a carrot, somebody's mouthpiece.
Who has a carrot in the locker room?
I don't know, but it's unbelievable, thinking back on it. Everyone's gay. And that's okay, but it's just crazy that there's such a gay tendency in guys.
And especially guys that play sports.
Because I just don't picture girls in the locker rooms.
No.
Sticking thumbs up each other's butts.
Because they don't.
And thumping each other's balls and laughing.
Well, we don't have balls.
Exactly.
And the maturity level is quite different. Not to say that girls aren't immature. I mean, because case in point. But there's just, that's not where we get immature is in the locker room. It's.
But I just wonder how much of it's maturity and how much of it is.
And I don't know. I didn't play sports.
A little piece of the. Yeah, nothing wrong with it.
No.
If you're a certain percentage gay, but there's very homosexual tendencies in masculine activities.
You trying to say gay guys can't be masculine?
No, they absolutely can. Obviously they can, because every guy that I know was doing it. But it's just crazy because the rage was thump each other's nuts.
Mm-hmm. I don't think that's something that gay guys would do to each other as like, to flirt.
Me either. So I wonder, are we gayer than gay guys?
I just think,
because gay guys, maybe they don't do that, but maybe we're gayer.
Or maybe it's just a whole another thing.
It's just weird, but if you had a humongous cock, nobody would stick anything up your ass.
Because everybody was like, man, fuck you.
That guy's got a huge piece. He is not getting carrots in the ass.
No, because.
And you'd be left alone. But it is a risk.
So how often was that? One guy?
I mean, there's always a few rogue genetic freaks. But I don't know why came out the gate with that. But I was literally just thinking it in the shower.
Well,
that.
Yeah. Good evening, everyone. Let's talk about cocks and balls right off.
But off I do. We do need to give a shout out to Brand X podcast and tell that story.
Tell the story of the story that was told on their
podcast.
I mean, I feel like that's going to be.
No, it's interesting.
It is.
The whole story behind it. You know, all of you guys know that we're new to this and we don't have any fancy equipment or no shit like that. We're just, you know, having a good time. And
I'm not ready for a second microphone, though.
Oh, it's a done deal soon. But, so. We're on this Facebook group for podcasters just to kind of learn some shit and talk to other people that do it. And I posted a thing on there talking about, hey, you know, does anybody want to, you know, listen to each other's podcasts and leave reviews and constructive criticism, yada, yada, yada. And I don't know the verbiage or anything, like the community verbiage, and you know, we're so new to this. And
or the etiquette, really.
Or the etiquette, anything. Right or wrong, either way. But a guy replied, John, who turns out he's a super nice guy, very cool, but I guess he had kind of woke up on the wrong side of the bed, and he kind of jumped on me for trying to get, you know, BS reviews or something, and we went back and forth for a second, but nothing really bad or anything.
And a review swap is yes. What the term is.
What I said was, anyone want to exchange reviews? And then,
little did you know that a review swap had such a negative connotation, though.
I mean, because we don't amongst the
podcast community, and I mean, now we know, and it's looked upon as, hey, just go review my podcast. But you were truly wanting people to listen to it and give honest reviews and constructive criticism, but that's not how he viewed it, and he got a little...
And he's done it a long time, and he's very good. Again, his podcast is Brand X Podcast. It's awesome. I've subscribed to it since then.
It's very good.
It's hilarious, and he's really good at it. So, you know, his advice, you know, I'm cool with that. But what's funny is, you know, we ended up hashing it out, and,
he was kind of a dick at first, and then he like almost immediately was like, felt like shit. You could tell.
I think he's a good guy, right? Because he did similar to what I would do. Like, he jumped on somebody, and then he was like, shit, hang on, let me look. And he went and he listened to our first episode, and he replied to me. He's like, first one's not too bad, man. Not terrible. And I was like, man, thanks. You know, the first one, we didn't even know what we were doing. There was no format.
We still don't know what we're doing.
Yeah, but we didn't even have an idea of anything to say. We didn't even, like, know how we were going to do it yet. And he was like, you know, but it's still good. Anytime you got any questions, let me know. I'll be happy to help. And then he went and listened to, like, our episode number 4. And so they cut their new podcast, and he started it out, and he was telling the guys on his podcast about the incident. And, you know, he was really cool about it. He was like, I went and I listened to their first one. It was pretty good. You know, they're getting their feel and all that. And he said, and by the fourth one, you know, I really liked it. They kept my attention, blah, blah. They were answering questions. They were working well off each other. So, you know.
Well, we appreciate cool the props.
And he gave a shout out. But the funny part was, he jumped in, he said, and so I went to their Facebook page. And he was describing me. He was like, the guy is a refrigerator with arms. And his wife looks like Judy Greer.
Which I honestly didn't know her name when he said it. But then I Googled her and immediately was like, oh, that girl. Because we had just watched a Big Bang episode with her on it. She's like in everything. And she's super cute. So, thanks, John.
I thought it was, really cool. And then he was explaining to them how the episode previous on their podcast, he had spent the whole podcast kind of dumping on people with tattoos. He's not a big fan of them. And then he saw our pictures, and that we're both covered in tattoos. And it was just pretty funny. But
And it sounded like they had some kind of tattoo bet, which I don't even know if he knows about our tattoo bet, where I lost a bet.
Ended
up with a tattoo.
And if you like non-politically correct male machismo, which I love, you'll like his podcast.
Well, and if you're listening to this podcast, then I would assume you're okay with not politically correct.
Oh, 100%. But
even though somebody said we were just a couple uneducated Republicans, which I think is fucking hilarious.
I did post that. We did get our first shitbag review.
I love it.
And I thought it was funny. The funniest part is the guy that gave us the review and said that we're just a couple of uneducated Republicans does a podcast on WWE wrestling.
What? That's fucking awesome.
I know. The whole story is great. I love everything about it. And, you know, John also, you know, he's given me more advice than anybody. And, you know, he even says reviews don't mean shit. Nothing means shit except for your subscribers. Your new subscribers. So, you know.
on Apple Podcasts. We love
that guy that gave us the shit review.
No, I think it's hysterical. I mean, it's, you know, our first hater, so...
Yeah, it kind of signifies that we've made it.
Did you listen to his WWE podcast?
Fuck no.
Oh, okay.
No. And I love some WWE.
I know, our DVR is...
Yeah, but I can't
clogged with it.
I don't think I can listen to a podcast about WWE.
No. You know the girl, Georgia Hardstark, that for My Favorite Murder, which is probably my favorite podcast... her husband has a podcast about WWE. Like, I don't, it's like they're complete yin and yang. She's like, yeah. I have a murder podcast. He has a wrestling podcast.
Yeah.
But Vince's is, her husband's is probably way better than that guy's.
Probably. But. And John's, if you guys get a chance to check him out, his sounds professional as fuck. So it's not going to sound anything.
Well, yeah, like apparently ours. He does. That, like, he has clients where he helps people have their podcast sound better.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
So, yeah, kudos.
So, thanks, it's John.
Awesome. Anybody looking for something else? Brand X Podcast is a good one. And anybody else out there, because I don't even know if I've mentioned it before on this, but anybody that is also a true crime lover like myself... and they haven't found My Favorite Murder yet, then you need to go listen to that, because that podcast is fucking amazing. It's two girls talking about true crime, and they're really funny, too. Like, not when they're talking about the murder shit, but it kind of keeps part of it lighthearted, but they're awesome.
You want to jump into the Walking Dead recap?
Sure. Walking's a crazy bastard. We all know that. The mega killer. Oh, fucking. The Walking Dead, we all know that's a hit. I just need to know if Rick will lose his shit. Morgan's a crazy bastard, we all know that. Nigga kill him, motherfucker, with a baseball bat. Carl lost his life, I don't give a shit. I just want to know if Carol gonna let Daryl bug.
So what'd you think of the episode?
Thought it was fucking great. I liked it a lot.
It was better. It was way better. Yep. Way better than they've been.
Lots of action.
Lots of action, but I mean, of course I have my issues.
Of course you do, but can I talk about the...
Sure.
Excuse me. Rick and Negan, that part, was awesome. So where Rick was in the car chasing Negan. I mean, we saw that in the previews where he was going to hit Negan's car, whatever. I did not know Negan had a bucket of guts in the car with him at that time. So that was a little crazy. I'm still confused on that whole biological warfare thing, by the way. Because now Negan got in a car wreck with the guts and it got all over him. So what does that mean?
It's going to mean something.
And then... I don't know. It was different than any other like fight sequence to me between Rick and Negan, and it was the first time you really saw Negan vulnerable. Really, well, no, second time, because when the sanctuary got blown up and he was like trapped in that trailer with Gabriel, but this was like he was in a lot of precarious positions. He lost Lucille.
He was the most thing that he was pissed off about was that old mustache guy killed the junk people when he finds out from Rick.
Oh, yeah. Because
he had no idea. You could tell he was literally hurt by that.
For sure.
He doesn't want more people to die than necessary, which is why I'm a Negan fan. The head bashings were necessary at the time, but he doesn't want...
No, he doesn't. He really feels like he's saving people. But yeah, as soon as Rick said that about the Jadis' people, I knew Negan was going to be pissed.
That dude's going to die a horrible death at some point.
Simon?
Yes.
Simon, somehow. That part to me is escalating pretty quickly. Like that whole Simon trying to, like, wanting to overthrow Negan. Like, I mean, I guess they assumed that he was dead, him and Dwight. And when they find out he's not dead, I just wonder what's going to happen when Negan rolls up on them wherever they are.
I think it's going to be a while for that. I think that the garbage lady is going to deliver Negan to Rick as a
offering.
Apology for not keeping her end of the bet, a way to get in with another group.
You think, though, after he left her there with all her people, all
Yeah, and
walkers?
He should have. He had every right to. She fucked him twice.
I know.
And so I think she's going to deliver him somehow to Rick. That's just my gut feeling.
Yeah. That is a good feeling. I think that's
he'll be
a possibility.
He'll be ill like the priest.
I don't know.
Won't die, but I think he'll be ill.
Yeah.
From the guts on
I guess.
Him somehow. I don't know why, but
I know. I'm still a little lost with that because again, they cover themselves in guts all the time. So the whole fight with Negan and Rick, I think, was badass. That was the best part of last night's episode. Then the new person they introduced was a little interesting. That older lady that got out of the big monster truck van.
Yeah.
It looked like they were like some kind of weird version of like the Indigo Girls. Like they're from...
Yeah, I mean, she's got to be a massive part in the story, though.
But, yeah, and I don't know. I mean, and Chris Hardwick didn't even mention anything about that character from the comic book. So I don't know if I would assume she's from the comic books, but I don't know. I feel like I should be a better nerd about this, but I don't.
Well, on The Talking Dead, the lady that's the super fan.
Yvette Nicole Brown.
Yeah. She, of course, made me vomit because her whole thing was about. She said that this whole episode was a Me Too-like episode.
What?
The women empowerment.
Oh, I didn't miss that part.
It was the women that were coming together to actually build while the men were blowing each other up. And then Chris Hardwick, such a tool last night. He was like, I know. Us guys, we were literally made to fuck shit up and mess up everything. And they have to do some dumb shit like that. And it doesn't even make any sense because they were talking about the women doing all the negotiations and shit. And I'm not serious about making this a gender thing, but nobody should have said shit. But really, the person that caused that to all go down last night in a peaceful resolution
was Carl.
Was Carl. And Michonne suddenly being Carl's biological mother. And
well, she's being the voice of reason and
his death is the what really spawned that last
night. Right. No, that's a very good point that it was. I mean, Enid wanted to go out there and take all their shit and kill them.
I know. So my gripe is with her saying anything about making it a man-woman thing.
When it was really,
the anybody thing. It's just fucking ridiculous. And Chris Hardwick douching on his own... Brosis acknowledging. He was
Chris
a tool
Hardwick.
Last night. I like Chris Hardwick. I like him a lot. But that was just fucking stupid.
I didn't even catch that. I mean, I remember her saying it was something about women finding peaceful resolution or whatever. Can you get off Twitter, please?
No, I'm checking to see if we've got a tornado coming. I'm keeping that up.
You were looking at American Idol on
Twitter.
That
was the bottom.
Okay.
Last thing on the feed.
We do have some severe weather headed our way, apparently. On the radar, it looks like it's headed our way, and we're supposed to be having tornado-type weather, and that scares the fuck shits out of me. So.
And y'all know me. I don't buy that shit.
No, but I'm horrified terribly of tornadoes, because I was in a tornado when I was a kid, and I have a panic attack if I hear a tornado siren. So even though Randall thinks it's all a bunch of hot garbage bullshit and the weathermen are never right, he still arranged some things in the basement so that if we did have to go down there to take shelter, and it puts my mind at ease a little bit. But, okay, so, yeah,
But much better. The episode was much better. At least it kept me involved just because of the high pace. But, I mean, fuck, man. I don't know how Rick has survived when he's such a bad shot. He fired all 50 rounds at Negan. And
oh, what it, Chris Hardwick said, it was like stormtrooper shots. Like
I've never seen worse shooting. There is no...
He had like a fully automatic.
You can't even extend your belief enough to justify that Negan didn't even get... Like, he couldn't even put one in his vicinity, but could put 30 directly into one car door. That Negan was beside 2 inches.
Well, but yeah, why is he such a bad shot when he's shooting at Negan, but he can shoot walkers in the head from 200 yards away?
Miles. Right. I know. It's obviously we're, you know, it's TV, so.
Mm-hmm.
But for God's sakes, man, just don't give him a gun or something so it doesn't make my blood boil because he's such a terrible shot.
He was walking up on the car with like, it was like a fully automatic. Blasting away, and Negan didn't even get grazed.
But the part of the show, that's really little nitpicky things that I'm upset about. What really chapped my ass was when Dwight blew up the car.
With a cigarette? You probably
didn't even notice. But he smoked the little bit of the cigarette and thumped it.
I thought that doesn't happen. I thought Mythbusters busted that.
They did, but that's not even what bothers me.
Oh.
He thumped it, and they like, you know, close in on his hand, and he thumps it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just a normal thump.
Mm-hmm.
And then they cut away, and him and
Simon
are, like, 50 yards away. So it would have been the world record thread-the-needle thump, and that didn't get enough applause. If that's the case, he's the world's greatest thumper.
Cigarette butt slinger.
And should be celebrated. Because Rick can't hit Negan with a fully automatic
rifle. Well, all he had to do was get it in the pool of gasoline, apparently. But
if you do the math and the physics.
No, it's all stupid, yeah.
He is 1,000 times better shot than Rick. Mm-hmm. And he did it with a smoke.
And just a careless thump. Little bitty thump. Cigarette, but.
Blew the whole shit up.
And that doesn't, and that doesn't happen. When you flick a cigarette butt into gasoline leaking out of a car, I'm like 99% sure that Mythbusters did something.
No, it doesn't.
Like,
you can
it catches on fire, but it's not going to explode in a...
No, you can put a cigarette out in a can of gas.
It won't even catch fire.
No, which is a great segue into the question from Bob that he asked. Bob Pierce about the... Ask Randall about how to siphon gas from a lawnmower.
Which apparently you don't know how to do.
No. And so, for people that don't know, Bob was my, my ex-brother-in-law?
He's your ex-brother-in-law,
And Bob's a good guy. He was always a great guy. I've been lucky, two cool brother-in-laws. Mm-hmm. And he was super nice. And Bob is like a...
He's still your kid's uncle.
Yeah, well, yeah. And he's still a good guy.
Yeah.
And he's all around, not similar to Jim, all around handyman, but... Bob can build any damn thing.
Mm-hmm. So why wasn't he siphoning the gas if you don't know what the fuck you're doing?
Well, because I was always asking him for help with shit, I remember. And I had to drop the tank on my riding lawnmower and get the old gas out of it. And he had told me that. I remember him being like, you need to drop your tank, get your gas out. So I didn't want to be a bitch. And when I do it, then have to go to him and be like, how do I do it? So I've seen movies. I got like a hose pipe and cut a big chunk out and threaded it into the tank and, you know, started sucking on it, you know, trying to take a pull to get it started. Couldn't get shit. And I'm sucking on it hard as can be, not getting anything. And then I finally escalate to the point where I must have just,
It makes me want to throw up.
Super pulled on it and I just swallowed a mouthful of gas. And so that's I'm immediately disgusting. Horrified, expecting it to die.
Did you throw up?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I threw up, you know, was kind of drooling, nose was running. I think I, like, shit myself a little. I was so certain that I was dead. I mean, I didn't know what happened.
That's disgusting,
And so I walk over there, and the only thing I can think of is go and ask Bob if I'm dead. And if I'm not dead, can he help me?
You saw some lightning.
And so I go over there and I tell him and I'm all nasty. I'm like, Bob, fuck, man, I just drank a bunch of gas. One, am I going to die? Two, can you help me finish it? Because I'll never get any more out again. And then three, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, he was just laughing at me and shit. And,
doesn't everybody probably do that the first time I try and siphon gas? Probably not to the volume that you did because I could see you overdoing it.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was like, you know, you're fine, whatever. Here, my, you know, my dad taught me, you know, just drink a little milk. And he went over there and finished it off and got it squared away and then was just telling me stories. And that's who told me about, he was like, man, my dad could drink a gallon of gas and as long as he had a glass of milk. And he'd smoke a cigarette while doing it and then put it out in the gas. And his dad would. His dad is just a old workhorse.
Hardcore, yeah.
But that's the story that Bob wanted me to tell. I did drink a lot of gas and thought I was dead. And
I can't imagine
I think
that.
I might have shit myself.
I feel like that's the kind of thing. Because like, I know when like you go to the gas station, you pump gas in your car and you get it just on your hands. That shit never, no, like the smell never goes away. So did you like taste gasoline for like a week?
For like a week, exactly. It was fucking atrocious.
Yeah, I can't even imagine.
I'm sure it did damage.
Well, just, you know, I mean, human body's pretty resilient. But, I mean, the only thing I can even come close to relating with that is just for siphoning is when I worked at the pet store in college. And it's the same process that you have to do when you're changing the water in a fish tank. You have to, like, put the hose in there and you have to suck on it to get the suction started. And the first time you do that and get nasty, rank, fucking fish tank water in your mouth, you...
I would die from that probably more than the gas. If I mean, it smells anything like turtle...
Well, yeah, it's, like, nasty...
Cages or turtle.
It's a fish tank full of, like, 30... God, you know...
It's gross.
Cichlids or whatever... And, you know, that's fish shit in the water and mildew. But, yeah, I mean, that's the closest that I can even relate to that because I've never siphoned gas at all. But blah.
All of this reminds me of a good thing. I was thinking about this, actually, I think in my car yesterday. No, in your car when I was taking Griffin back because mm-hmm. he shit all over me in the car. He farted. And
typical, yeah.
Smelled so bad and I was just... angry about it inside, like
at least when he was farting in the back seat the other day and it was just there was no smell.
Yeah,
it was
but
just
it was making me angry, not at him, but I just it's so weird how I've gotten so angry about people's farts. Like I don't handle them well at all. Like most people can laugh it off and oh you stink.
When it stinks so rancid though, like sour spoiled milk like Griffin's do, and you're trapped in a car, like
it's anybody with me, though. I've gotten so sensitive.
Who farts around you besides your...
But anybody... Gunner, when it makes me...
Besides your children.
It just gives me a... Well, I mean, Jim, Jordan, plenty of people fart, and I can't deal with it well. And I came to the point, I think I know when the trauma happened, that this went downhill. Because I remember for years... In years in high school, I could handle any fart.
Mm-hmm.
No problem.
Okay.
You could put the worst of the worst on me. I could suck it up like a man and be like, oh, you stink, you're gross, ha, cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then one night, we were at my house. It was me, Robert, and Sean Draper. Spend the night. I think it was after a football game. I'm pretty sure it was after a game because I remember Robert's ankles still being taped. And Robert taped his ankles like halfway up to his knees. He played like, I think it was our junior year with like a busted ankle. But he would tape them so tight.
Mm-hmm.
It was gross to look at. It was so tight in his skin.
Like cutting off his circulation.
Yeah, I mean, and that's how he liked it. I still don't know how the fuck he could do it. And he had like a fracture. And so it was basically
Jesus.
Like a cast. He played that whole year like that, but he'd have Coach Sanders tape him to nauseam. And so after games, most people would get their, when you get your ankles taped, you'd have them cut them off after the game before we leave the locker room.
Like on his leg, like leg hair?
Robert would leave, no, he'd shave his legs from the midpoint down just
for that.
And I remember he was in like some slide, like I can picture it. So they were still taped. I think he just left it on because was like just a cast. Used to it. And we had gotten like some crystals and shit, and we were spending the night at my house. Ooh,
crystals. There's the culprit right there.
And we had this nasty couch down in my basement. It was blue, like a faded blue. Just smelled like an ashtray that, and my dad's feet and more cigarettes. And Robert loved that couch. It was fucking weird. He could not, if he sat in it, he would go to sleep. Similar to, you know, like my Papa George in his recliner.
Or me and our bed.
And you and our bed. And I remember we were all fucking around and farting and shit. And he was like, he looked at me and he said, oh, the couch has got me. And he was like nodding off. And I was like, okay, cool. Me and Sean were, you know, laughing and shit. And I, like, grabbed a fart and threw it at him.
Yeah.
And it was, I only got, like, half of it. But enough of it to be like, oh, that's fucked up. And kind of woke him up, and he was like, oh, all right, cool. You got me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I fell asleep. And he did, like, in the movies where, like Jackass, where somebody will stand over your face and spread their cheeks.
Yeah.
And, like, fart, and you'll raise up and put your nose in their butt crack.
No.
Everything but the nose into the butt crack. But he got right over, and Robert had, like, 15 crystals.
Gross.
Chili cheese fries. It was fucking
You're lucky you didn't get shit on your
rancid.
Face.
Mm. I was so violently upset at the fart. I wasn't mad at him, because, I mean, I'd just done the same.
Mm-hmm.
But he's by far the worst farter I've ever known. And that was just from, you mm-hmm. know, high school years. But looking back, I have post-traumatic stress.
From that incident.
That's why I hate farts to this day.
From that the way that I do. Specific incident.
Yeah. I can't trace it anywhere else. And why would I remember it so vividly?
Yeah. That's
and
gross.
Why didn't Sean Draper be like, dude, you're taking it too far, Robert?
Because, no. Y'all are dudes and...
And how did Robert wake up when I was asleep? And he went to sleep first, and he always slept on that couch.
Because his stomach was probably rumbling. He woke up and was like, ooh, that
probably,
yes.
That probably was it.
Well, boys are gross.
Yep, we're nasty bastards.
Yeah, so...
You want me to do just the tip real quick?
Sure, I don't even know what it's going to be. I was just trying to think of how we got to the fart story from Walking Dead, but that was a long, twisty, windy road.
I don't know.
Of
this whole podcast has been that way.
Yeah.
I like it.
Just the tip. Just the tip, tip. Just the tip. Just for a second. Just to see how it feels. Yeah. Just the tip. Just the tip, tip. Just the tip, just for a second, just to see how it feels. Yeah. Just the tip. Just the tip.
So my tip right now is you have to learn to stay in the black with your compliments for your spouse. That's okay. A true statement. I remember I read something. I was thinking back. I think it was like in college or something in a psychology class. It's weird how I remember little nuggets of things, but I remember that it's like it takes 20 positive comments to undo the damage of one negative.
Okay.
And so with your spouse, if you're like me, that's why I bank so many sweet things. And you keep yourself in the black. I'm telling
you. You don't ever say mean things like
about
me, though.
But it doesn't have to be mean. It can just be something you take as negative, which I do from time to time. It, you know, it might hurt your feelings. Doesn't mean to be that way.
Okay.
But I have a surplus that's abundant, and I know that. It's like a bank account.
Yeah.
And if everyone would realize that.
No, nothing that I'm ever, like, pissed off or aggravated with you about is going to, like... I mean, it's never last,
though. Well, but if you don't have that surplus, though...
I'm with you.
Mm-hmm. If you're negative all the time, like if your checking account of compliments is negative,
yeah,
your shit's in trouble.
No.
Because then you just become a bothersome, gripey, mom or dad to your spouse.
Negative piece of shit. Yeah.
And you're being mom or dad or fucking, you're not being husband or wife.
Partner. Yeah.
No. Shit gets old quick. So I'm just telling you, budget your compliments.
Yeah.
Stay in the black.
That's a good tip. How am I doing? So.
You're fine. We're great about that
shit. I don't have a mental checkbook of it.
No. But we need to bust out these friend questions because we've got a few. And this first one is from John, who wants to know, what's the most embarrassing thing to happen to you?
John who?
I don't know. I just wrote down John.
Good one. What's the most embarrassing thing that's happened?
I know mine.
I mean, I just, like, I'm sure there's so plenty for me.
Do you want me to go first?
Throughout my life.
I know exactly.
Yes.
Mine's the Marshall pantsing.
Oh, well, fuck yes. Yeah.
And
absolutely.
I'll tell y'all this quick story.
Oh, my God. It was so funny. It might be my most embarrassing moment, too.
It probably is, because you were right there with me.
Yes. But
we had been snowboarding all day, and it was a group of us.
Okay,
and we went and ate dinner afterwards at the Dillard House. A real nice, you know, kind of charming.
Family style
food.
It's like a... isn't it like a lodge too? Like,
yeah,
it's like a
it's perfect for the mountains.
Yeah, it's up in the North Georgia mountains, out in the middle of nowhere.
And so we all go and eat, and everybody's in their post snowboarding attire, which is usually like girls being like leggings and a hoodie, guys will be in like sweatpants and a hoodie, you know, because you've been nasty all day and you're just wanting to be warm
and dry. Yeah.
And so we all ate, and we're getting ready to go pay. And so a group of the guys, we go into the pisser to hit the pisser before we pay and leave for the road trip back, because it's about 2.5 hours from there. And I remember I walked in, I got into one of the urinals, and my buddy walks behind me. And like what happens all the time for guys, when you're pissing, you'll squeeze out a fart. Not intentional. It just happens. It's physics. And Marshall, my buddy, happened to be walking right behind me at the time and gets pissed off at me like I chambered it and aimed it at him.
It was calculated.
And he's like,
when he walked in,
he said, okay, I gotcha. Payback's a bitch. And it was a weak fart, like just a I'm trying to piss fart. Nothing to it. And he was pretty pissed. And I was like, whatever, dude. So I go back out and I'm standing there beside Brooke. We're in the little room where you pay, and it's pretty full, so people are sitting and
it's like waiting,
the lobby,
like waiting area where you would come and see the hostess.
And Brooke's sitting on the bench seat, and I'm standing beside her, and I've got my hands in my hoodie pockets, just chilling with some sweatpants on, and you know, my hands are in the hand warming pockets. And Marshall comes out, I had no idea, and he goes to pull my pants down. And he gets pants and underwear.
To the ankles.
To the ankles.
Wiener out.
Wiener out. 20-some degrees outside. Been snowboarding all day. The opposite of impressive.
He was chilly.
As unimpressive as you could catch a man in a predicament. That would be me. And so that's bad enough. And I'm frozen. I don't even know, like... So I stand there for like what felt
it
like
was,
30 seconds.
It was a good 5 straight seconds with your wiener out in a family restaurant. Hands in pocket. That is an eternity.
And so when I finally do realize, oh shit, I got to do something. Instead of just like kind of crouching down and picking up my pants at the ankles and pulling them up.
Yeah, instead of being dainty and polite about it.
I just turn around. And basically spread my butt apart in our other friend's wife's face and bend over at the waist and pull up my pants and underwear and give her a shot of my butt asshole.
Yeah, and all I heard her say
right
was,
in her face.
Oh my.
And I remember hearing Brooke, when the wiener came out, she said like, dear God.
I was horrified because I thought nothing like this had ever happened. And I was just in shock as far as, like, I was worried about the level of anger that Randall was going to have towards Marshall, because I didn't, like, I mean,
which makes sense, but Marshall's one of those few people, and it was so well played.
Yeah.
It was so inappropriate, but so well played. That I couldn't even be mad. I remember, like, I pulled my pants up, and I'm dying laughing.
He was laughing so hard. You, like, almost threw up.
No, I did throw up outside.
You threw up next to the car. And he laughed the entire drive home.
Oh, for sure.
Threw up next to the car laughing so hard. Laughed the entire drive home. Him and Marshall both, like, the next day.
It was the next night laying in bed.
The next night laying in bed. I think Marshall had even texted us, like, that day and was like, I'm still laughing.
I'm still to this day.
It's, I mean,
you can't do it better than he did. He's the GOAT.
Oh yeah. Once I got over, like, the fear of, like, Randall,
legal ramifications.
Yeah, like,
or me punching him in the face,
because I was like, oh my god, this is gonna be so bad. But so I was just in shock. Once I got over all that, I was able to finally laugh about it for days, because it was like, we just, to this day, have a joke that there's, like, a picture of Randall in the Dillard house, like,
with as, like, tiny wiener.
It's like, do not let this man in, sexual predator.
Ever. My hands still in my pockets.
I mean, just... there was literally, I think, like, a family coming up to pay with, like,
oh, there was a bunch of people.
Little kids. Like, oh my god. Yeah. Not good. But it was, yeah. So I was pretty mortified at that point in time, too. I can't think of another more embarrassing time for myself. That tops it for everybody. All right, so you got Bob's.
Here's a good one from Rachel, our good buddy. What questions should people ask before getting married?
Like, ask each other?
Yeah, I'm sure, yeah.
I mean, there's plenty you should ask each other and make sure, you know, do you want kids? Yes.
That's a good one. Are you religious?
That's a good one.
So you can see where you're at on that.
If you have a discussion about that, for sure.
Are you Jewish?
Do you worship Satan?
Yeah, those are all questions.
Those are all things you should hash out before getting married. I mean, do you have mountains of credit card debt? What am I getting into?
I think more importantly than that, those are all very important. But the most important question, if you're asking Dr. Randall, Rachel, which I think you are here, is if you're the girl and you're talking to the guy, you should ask him about his relationship with his mom.
And if
you're the guy... you need to find out everything you can about her relationship with her dad. Because if either of those relationships are fucked up, chances are high you've got a fucked up partner.
So head for the hills.
You're going to have mommy or daddy issues.
Yeah.
Those are bad for the opposite gender. They're real bad.
Yeah.
And that's just real. That's not dogging anybody that might have daddy issues or mommy issues. But
no,
check
but
out and sniff out that relationship.
It needs to be out in the open and, like... so that the other, your partner knows how to handle,
and you need
all
to
that.
See it. You need to see the guy interact with his mother, and you need to see the girl interact with her dad. And just take that relationship in. That's going to be a big barometer.
And if there are issues with either one of those, you need to understand how that person handles those issues. Because I know plenty of people that have some damaged fucking relationships with one or both of their parents. And it's all about how they've processed it and how they handle it as an adult.
But I think it's just more damaging when it's the girl and her dad.
John. Yeah.
Their relationship and the guy and his mother.
For sure. Yes.
The guy and his dad can have problems. It's not as big as if that guy has an issue with his mom. Or if that girl, she might hate her mother for some reason. But if she has an issue with her father, that can...
be very telling about, it can be very, it can be something that spills over into a marriage relationship.
And that's a tough one to ask, but if you see some shit, You know, that's the best. Get in there early and be like, you know, hey, I'm a little worried. Maybe you got some mommy issues. And let's talk about it. See where they're at. Because that shit's real.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah.
Is marrying outside of your faith or political views a no-no?
I mean, it depends on how. I don't know. I would say no. No, it's not a no-no.
I agree.
As long as, you know, I mean, it's not too.
As long as you're not an outlier, like a fucking crazy political.
That's what I'm trying to say. Because I don't even, like.
It wouldn't matter to me whether whoever I'm with, what their politics are, as long as they're open-minded. Understanding and not going to take my personal stances personal.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
For me personally, political views, it doesn't mean two fucking shits to me. I am the most non-political person probably in the world and have surrounded myself with, I mean, my family, who obviously I didn't choose, but like that I trust wholeheartedly, and then you, who I go to for any kind of like political questions that I have, or if I want some kind of advice about politics or whatever, because I don't like it. I don't like to talk about it. And I'm also not super religious, but that's not to say that, you know, we don't have our beliefs, but.
Sure. I mean, the only time that you're going to run into it as an issue to me, if it's a faith issue, is, I don't even see it as being an issue, but it needs to be discussed early on. You know, I've got friends that, you know, their partner or husband, maybe they are Jewish. And knowing that, mm-hmm. are you, as his fiance, are you going to convert?
Right.
Or what are y'all going to do about your kid? You know, those discussions need to be, they can all be resolved.
The faith part can come into play when you have kids.
Yeah.
About, like, baptizing and how you raise your kids, Christmas and things like that, if it's a Jewish
mm-hmm.
factor. But, I mean, yeah.
That comes to your questions, though, because you got to know. How much of a requirement is it, you know, in this example?
How serious?
Is he going to expect you to convert?
Right.
Or is he like, cool, we'll just be mixed, you know, we'll raise our kids with both, or I don't give a shit what you do? That needs to be discussed early.
Yeah, I think it's absolutely doable. You just have to understand this, what the expectations are.
Yep. Melissa wants to know, I'm going to read one of hers. What is the worst advice you've gotten about kids, about having kids? And I was thinking about this, and I wrote a little thing out that it just bothers me. I think it bothers you too really bad, so we can both use it as our answer, but...
Mm-hmm.
It's not technically about kids, because really nobody knows dick about raising kids. Everybody's just trying to survive with your kids. Nobody's better than anybody else. It's a feel thing. So people that are
awesome.
Offering up advice to others about raising their kids, or there's really no room
nobody
for it. You can't
take
advice. You're going to have to just see how the shit goes.
Well, because all kids are different, how they respond to certain things. And yeah.
But the advice part, it's not really advice, but I'm going to use this opportunity to say what bothers me
mm-hmm.
is when, and it's how nasty women can be to each other when they do the natural childbirth.
I knew that's what you were going to say.
Is better than C-section childbirth.
Yes.
Like, and I didn't even have the Brooke had a C-section with Gunner. I didn't. So mm-hmm. it bothers me, I think, more than her. I've had two children. I've seen both. They're both horrifying
mm-hmm.
and awful mm-hmm. in every way to look at visually.
Yeah. We didn't choose a C-section. Oh, no. It was an emergency C-section. But, yeah.
They're really, the C-section's way grosser.
It's a longer recovery. It's more, I mean, obviously they...
You're disemboweled.
You are disemboweled to retrieve your baby. But I know exactly where Randall is going with this. There is a sector of women that are so against C-sections and look down upon women that have C-sections as if they have not truly experienced childbirth. And it is, for me, if I hear somebody say that, I just want to punch him in the throat because...
She gets triggered.
Yeah, for sure. Triggered. Because you know what? I carry... I know John's in here yawning. Like, I hear you, sir.
He doesn't like the storms.
No, he does not like thunder. It's okay, buddy. For somebody to have the fucking gall to say that I didn't experience real childbirth is so rude and just like, you're not gonna be my friend anymore. Like, we're done talking. I carried that child